Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. The Sound of Hollywood, the best of MGM musicals, is coming to the National Concert Hall in early September. We'll give you the exact dates, all the details very shortly. So whether you're into it, it is 100 years celebration of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, the iconic musical films of the 1940s and the films and the 50s, The Wizard of Oz, I'm Singing the Rain, High Society. We'll come into it in a minute, but joining me in studio, Irish conductor and pianist Niall Kinsley. You're very welcome, Niall. And a West End musical star. Aoife Mulholland, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much
for coming into us.
Thank you for having us.
We played a little clip there at the start to put people in a merry mood. It did straight away. It worked for me straight away.
Because
I think the thing about this music is it's just, we all grew up with it, you know, whether we realise that or not. For me, they always seem to be on TV on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
So there was always, you know, and I just was enthralled by them. I'd sit down and watch them. And it wasn't until years later that I realised I've actually seen this before. So I think they're kind of, they're in our, like,
it's in that lovely, happy Saturday afternoon vibe.
Yeah. And they're
the Wizard
so joyful.
Of Oz and Singing in the Rain. Oh, those classics. Absolutely love them.
They are really feel good and joyful. And they're full of such colour and energy and happiness, really.
Yeah.
Which is,
we'll come into the big music as a moment, but I want to get everybody to know you both. Actually, I'll start with you, Aoife, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You have an astounding background, actually. you started in How to Solve a Problem Like Maria. People will remember the beat. When was that?
Yeah, oh, jeepers, many moons ago. Probably about 17 years ago now.
Must have been a child.
Yeah, I think I've blocked it out of my memory.
It was a huge show, though, wasn't it?
It was huge, yeah. BBC One, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Yeah,
and you'd come over from where to make your name in London?
So yeah, I was studying in London. I was just finished my master's in musical theatre.
Oh yeah,
and I had no agent, no auditions, and then this thing came up. My course leader said, "Do any of you want to audition for this?" And I thought, "Oh God, reality TV, really." But I'd nothing else on, so I said, okay, I'll give it a go. And never thinking I'd get
this
far.
Was the thing.
Yeah. And myself and my friend Abby Finley, we auditioned together and we just kept getting through round after round after round. And then the next thing we discovered, we were in the final 10 live BBC. And I remember looking at her going, jeepers, this wasn't supposed to happen, Abby. What are we doing here? And the penny dropped then. And I think at one stage, 10 million people were watching us.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And it was live TV. So, you know yourself, live TV, how nerve-wracking it can be. And it was great.
And the prize was?
The prize was to play Maria on the West End in the Sound of Music, London Palladium. And I didn't win the prize at the time.
No.
I came fourth. But actually, my first job then out of that was Roxy in Chicago, Roxy Hart. So, you know, I didn't do too badly.
Yeah.
And then I think when Andrew Lloyd Webber saw that, you know, I could actually do, you know, Roxy on the West End leading role, he got me in then eventually to play Maria.
How long ago was it since you've listened to yourself on the BBC?
Do you know what? I've actually never watched the programmes. I've never watched them.
I have a small clip here.
Oh, here we go.
It's 2006. This is you singing. You'll have to stick on your ear goggles to hear it because I want to hear it in its full thing. Let me put up this thing here now. This is You'll Never Walk Alone. Because it's crying now again in a second.
Gorgeous. Oh my gosh. Oh, you're getting emotional.
Do you know,
now,
that actually doesn't sound too bad. That song sends chills down my spine, and I'll tell you why. During rehearsals, the vocal coach was saying, "Yeah, you're doing great." I was like, "Are you sure I could do anything better?" She's like, no, keep going." And I remember Andrew came in and he listened to it and he had tears in his eyes. So I thought, okay, I'm doing something right. And then when I finished the song and went up to be, you know, judged by the judges, the vocal coach said to me, "You blew it. You absolutely blew it." completely threw me under the bus. So for me to hear that now, I'm like, oh God, where did I blow it? Yeah. And I said, it wasn't too bad. I'm actually quite happy with that performance. But and then afterwards I went up to her and I said, why did you say that after, you know, being through rehearsals? And she said, we're making a TV show, darling.
So she said to me,
cruelty. I was like, okay, now I get the game here.
Might have been nice to let you know in advance that some of the things came with the camera. It was 2006.
2006. Wow.
As you say, you didn't actually win the series, but you got huge exposure. You actually did end up playing Maria.
I did, yeah.
On the West End.
I played it for about 18 months in the Palladium. It was amazing. Such an amazing experience with the big orchestra as well. You know, I think it was a 30-piece orchestra. Oh, wow. Fabulous.
And you grew up in Salt Hill?
Galway? Yeah, Salt Hill, Galway, yes.
As you were wandering along the prom there as a child. I mean, this is the stuff of dreams, isn't it?
I know. Like, it took me a long time to bite the bullet and actually do it. You know, I was in my kind of early 20s before I thought, you know, I have to just go for it and go to London. And glad I did it now, and I think I'm probably thankful for that program because it got me my foot in the door, and I haven't looked back. So yeah.
What was the West End success like? What you mentioned Roxy Hart, Chicago.
Chicago.
What else did you play?
Maria. Then I went into Legally Blonde. I played Brooke in Legally Blonde, where I had to sing and skip at the same time, which was fun. And then I did Chess with Idina Menzel in the Royal Albert Hall.
Really?
With Tim Rice. Yeah, that was fabulous. That was great. So a lot of exciting things.
And along the way, you obviously, Andrew Lloyd Webber, who was in the show, that's the Andrew you referenced casually. Yes. You got to know him.
I did, yeah. He's a lovely man, lovely musical genius. And
if he wasn't, would you say?
Not at all. I couldn't.
Go on.
But he can be ruthless as well. I remember he came in to watch the dress rehearsal of The Sound of Music. And he didn't like one of the actors, the guy playing Von Trapp, and he said, he's gone. So there was a week before the show, and they had to get another guy in to learn the show, you know, yourself, you know, learning a script in a week, learning all the, you know, where to stand and all the movements and the songs. So, yeah.
For the record, I don't know myself.
You've been in shows as well. You have.
Would I do it to that caliber? That's unbelievable.
I know.
That's the business you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a perfectionist. And I guess he has to be. He's very successful. And that's what you have to do sometimes, I think. Yeah.
Was music always going to be your career? Did you have a job? This was all that you wanted to do.
Well, I kind of told myself I had to get a real job, for want of a better word. And I did a diploma in business studies after my degree. And I joined an insurance company for 2 years.
Oh, really?
I was the worst employee ever. I was still doing the musicals at night, and I'd be learning my lines under my desk. And I'm very sorry for my boss there. I wasn't great. And shortly after that, I left for London.
And coming soon, Insurance the Musical. Niall, you look too young to be a conductor.
Oh, well, a lot of them are kind of sort of middle-aged, and I've learned that it probably takes that time to just get established, because, you know, it does take a long time to establish yourself. But here I am, and having a go at it. So,
we just especially precocious in the world of conducting.
Well, I don't know. I'm older than I look, actually. But I'm definitely. I'm definitely passionate about this music. Yeah. You know, I think it's the most amazing music. And it's music that we all, as I said earlier, we all kind of connect with.
We do. Now, Aoife obviously very quickly decided, you know, insurance to music. But you're a pianist who becomes a conductor. Obviously, you stay a pianist, I presume. But how do you make that transition? Or what?
Well, for years, I didn't really want to be a conductor, to be honest. You know, I always just wanted to play the piano. I work a lot with singers, and I adore working with singers. I think singers are the most amazing people in the world. I've always enjoyed that. And I kind of fell into it slightly by accident in 2012. And then I realised, well, I actually do enjoy it, and I'm good at it. And then I just kind of kept it up slightly, it was like a side hustle for a while. And then eventually, you know, it was kind of really since COVID that I thought, okay, well, I'm really going to sort of go for this now and really make this my my main thing, particularly in this sort of Broadway, Hollywood repertoire.
Is that the type of music that clicked with you first?
Yeah, well, I've always loved it. But, you know, obviously I trained as a classical musician and the majority of my work up until now has been, you know, in kind of classical stuff. But it's, you know, the thing about it is you can still apply all of the stuff you learn as a classical musician to this music, because it's all the same elements that are in it. It's just a different style, you know, just working a kind of more jazzy, popular style. So it's the thing I love is that it involves both of those elements, the classical world and the sort of more popular.
Music tends to run in families. Have you got huge family?
I don't come from a musical family at all. And actually, probably that's a blessing, because, you know, I only ever did music for myself. Mm-hmm. It was never, you know, because my parents did it or because my siblings did it or anything like that. It was because I wanted to do it and it was always my thing. My family are so supportive. My parents have always been so supportive, and my brother as well. So it's great that I have that, but I don't have that sort of pressure of, well, you have to live up to, you know, what your brother just did, or you have to live up to what your dad did.
Are they all doing very different things then?
Yeah. So, I mean, my brother's actually creative as well. He's a filmmaker. So he's made short films.
It's in the same vein.
Yeah. So he's kind of actually done some amazing things. They've won awards and everything. So, like, you know, but we're not competitive at all, because
Achieving, you know. What part of the world are you from, by the way?
I'm from Dublin.
Yeah. Why do Dublin people always just say Dublin? What part of Dublin?
It's like a slightly less interesting than somewhere else.
Which bit of Dublin?
From Terenure.
Again, playing the town, going, you know, those things are interesting.
Nothing
to
interesting
those
to say, but yeah. Part lovely part of the world and very near everything. Very ideally located.
That's their tourist slogan.
Public transport.
Terenure, near everything. Yeah, you got facilities and services. Yeah. Back over to Galway. Yeah, your dad is very musical and an inspiring figure for you.
Yeah, so I came from a really musical family. My grandparents owned a hotel in Salt Hill, called the Hilltop Hotel. Oh, yeah. And a lot of young acts started off their career there, like John Kenny, Pat Short.
Really?
Who else? The Stunning, I think, had their first gig there. So I think quite the opposite to Niall's, because I came from such a musical background, and I saw firsthand how difficult it was. My uncles were professional musicians. My dad dabbled in it for a while, and I know how it's a really tough life, to try and pay the bills and getting, you know, regular income. So that kind of nearly turned me off it for a while, and that's why I was so slow to actually go for it, because and to try and get the day job. But then I guess if it's inside you, it's very hard to.
Was there a nightclub in the hotel when you were growing up?
Yes.
What was that called?
It was all the Hilltop.
Everything was the Hilltop.
Everything was the Hilltop.
Was it in the go in your time? Was it?
No, I was only like six.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I never got to experience. But I'd listen upstairs. All myself and my cousins and my siblings would all just sit at the top of the stairs listening to. I still remember the song John Kenny used to sing.
Really?
Yeah. Joe Dolan.
There was jazz, a lot of jazz. He played a lot of jazz, didn't he?
Yeah.
Joe Dolan.
Joe Dolan.
No
as
show
well.
Like a Joe show.
I know. Love Joe.
Oh my God, if the walls could talk in there.
I know.
They would probably say.
The crack.
Power hose me now. I'm only joking. It's very interesting. Let's get into the MGM musicals and the sound of that Hollywood era. I have a longer version of the medley I've been playing to cheer us all up this morning. We'll begin there.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Hello. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
I don't.
Have flashy flunkies everywhere?
I don't.
Who wants the bother of a country estate?
A country estate is something I'd hate.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again.
we're straight into Saturday afternoon vibes. Is it okay at 9:45 on a Thursday?
Oh, I think any time of the day. Well, certainly for me, I'm a little bit obsessive about this music. So I would listen to this literally morning until
this
midnight.
Is your idea to bring it to the National Concert Hall next month. Where did this idea come
well,
from?
Well, firstly, I suppose the impetus for it was that this year marks 100 years since the beginning of MGM, which opened in 1924, the very early days of cinema, and that was a good few years before sound came in, which was 1929. And as soon as sound came in, I mean, musicals were there. So MGM were making musicals from, you know, as soon as they could. But I suppose they really came into their own in the 1930s, 40s and 50s with this guy, Arthur Freed, who produced all these amazing musicals that we know now, like High Society, Wizard of Oz, Singing in the Rain, Annie Get Your Gun, all of those. So,
and it evokes all the style, doesn't it? And the huge stars, your Judy Garlands and Gene Kellys. And
I mean, they said at the time MGM had more stars than the Milky Way. And like literally it did. And these stars were, you know, it was like a factory of stars, actually. They would come in, they'd find these, you know, this raw talent and they would nurture the raw talent. They'd give them acting lessons, singing lessons, dancing lessons. And then they would mold these careers. So you had somebody like Judy Garland. I mean, she's probably not the best example because she was kind of, you know, she was kind of chewed up and spat out a little bit by the studios.
She didn't even live till 50.
Yeah. Oh. And she, I think she's probably a very tragic case. But, you know, they really, like somebody like Catherine Grayson, who was in, you know, Kiss Me Kate and Showboat and stuff like that. You know, they really sculpted her career. And these people became really phenomenal stars, and they controlled their media, you know, their PR and everything. They were MGM's biggest assets.
Yeah. And then the 60s arrive and that period just looks uncool. And they do something extraordinary.
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, I get shocked whenever I think about it. And anytime I've said it to people. So basically, in the 1960s, MGM was losing a lot of money. Yeah. And they had a big shakeup, and they brought in new kind of heads of MGM. And at the time, MGM, the music library had about 3.5 million items in it. It was the largest music library in America, second only to the Library of Congress. And the powers that be felt that this music library was a waste of space, and they wanted to free up basically real estate on the MGM lot. And they ordered that it be completely stripped and all the music thrown into skips and sent to landfill. So when we think of like the scores, the handwritten, you know, sheet music of all these musicals, we think, oh God, they must be saved somewhere in a vault.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they were actually thrown away. So they're somewhere,
It's the notes, it's the physical paper.
The notes,
paper,
yeah, all of those arrangements that are done for the orchestra to play from. So the full scores that a conductor conducts from and the orchestra parts that make this music essentially performable were thrown out. So somewhere, the beautiful song Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the handwritten music of that now lies somewhere. Under a golf course in
a golf course,
like, it's the most
because that was the dump.
Yeah, so it's there's a country club in LA that has all these absolute treasures. So
they would be rotted though, wouldn't they?
I think it's
metal box or something.
There's no saving that, you know.
Why didn't they just sell? You would thought they'd just flog them off.
Well, you know, they also had this, car crash of a decision as well to auction off like props and costumes and, you know, stuff from the films. And like I read somewhere that they let the ruby slippers, you know, Judy Garland's ruby slippers go for like 15 grand.
No
I mean,
way.
They just sort of let it go because they wanted to make
making money.
They wanted to make money. And I think the goal was to build the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino, which they did in 1973. And then, I mean, that burned down in 1980. So was it worth it?
Unbelievable. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what's actually going to be happening in that concert. But 51551 is the text. We'll be back shortly. And you're very welcome back. We're here with Niall Kinsella and Aoife Mulholland. We're talking The Sound of Hollywood, best MGM musicals at the National Concert Hall on the 4th of September. What can we expect, guys? What movies, what songs?
Well, there, we've
big sound.
Yeah,
like this is every singer's dream, singing with a 55-piece orchestra, the Irish Studio Orchestra. So I'm really excited about singing "Get Happy." Actually, I can't wait to sing that one.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Yeah, and I think the challenge with this one was what do we leave out? We could probably have two or three concerts of this music, but you know, obviously we have to be selective because it can't go on all night. So. There's a lot of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Get Happy, Over the Rainbow. A lot of really.
You were thrilled you got this West End star to do this.
Yeah, well, we've worked together a bit. So the opportunity to do something with Aoife with an orchestra was just like irresistible. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
So,
is there a male vocalist as well?
Yes, we've got Matt Ford, who is like leading UK jazz and swing singer. Great. And he's done a lot of this repertoire before.
He's well known in the NCH.
Yes, he's done a few things. And he's done a lot with the John Wilson Orchestra as well, and at the BBC Proms. So yeah, so we're delighted to.
You will have your own slant on this, obviously, because we heard all the notes are destroyed. You can kind of have a little bit of conducting flair.
Yes, well, I've kind of reconstructed a few of the numbers. So there's two numbers from The Wizard of Oz that I absolutely had to put in. One is the main title from The Wizard of Oz, and then of course Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Lovely.
Which is somewhere under a golf course, sadly. So I had to reconstruct them. So I did the unenviable task of sitting, listening to the CD or the track over and over and over and over and over and writing down kind of every note to make a score that was playable by an orchestra.
It's going to be something else.
Yeah.
Aoife, you have three boys, have you?
Three little boys, yes.
Very cool names, I believe. I don't have them to hand.
Yeah, Max, Brody and Xander.
Max, Brody and Xander.
Yes.
Is that short for Alexander?
Yes.
That's cool. I really like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, my eldest Max, he's actually, whether I like it or not, he loves musical theatre. He was Oliver last year in the Mill Theatre, and he's going into Charlie and the Chocolate Factory now. So yeah, he loves it.
Are you happy about that now, Mum, knowing what this industry is?
Knowing how tough it can be, I would say, Max, if you can do anything else, but you know, my parents said the same to me, so you know, what do I know? So yeah, if that's what he absolutely wants to do, I'll support him, obviously.
They were bound to be talented between yourself and Dad. Is a famous cricketer.
Well, he's a cricketer anyway. I'm not sure about famous, but he played with Ireland for a good few years. So yeah,
remind us of his name.
Jason Mullins.
We definitely know the name. And is there cricket among the three boys?
Yes. Well, the younger two, sports mad and absolutely love cricket. So I'd say they'll be probably.
So you've got the perfect mix going on in the house.
Sports and the music. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they can't fail, these kids.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
You are really slightly worried about that.
But I'm just thinking it must be very inspiring to have you as a, you know, musical theatre West End star. As, you know, that's definitely inspiration to want.
I don't know.
You know, your child. You
know,
do they know what you do and do they appreciate
it? Oh, they do, which is a lovely thing because they're now coming to my shows, you know. And so before, what I took a bit of time out after the West End to have them and they never really knew what I did. And now that I'm kind of going back to it and I was in PF a couple of years ago and doing the shows with Niall, it's so nice that they're actually coming to see what Mummy does, you know. Yeah. Not just, you know, feeding them and changing clothes and that kind of thing.
Do they give you a review?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, especially Max. Yeah, he'd be, you know, I didn't like what you wore there now and you could have done this a bit differently. And like, really?
Sorry, what age is Max again?
He's 13. 13, okay, 13 right. Going on 23.
Theatre critic.
Yeah. But,
It's you're really looking forward to it though, aren't you?
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait for September 4th. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I'm just really looking forward to the sound of the orchestra. I mean, obviously the singers as well. But, and I think my goal is that I want people when they come into the concert hall on the 4th of September, is that they it's like they're in the MGM studio soundstage, and you know, we're really trying to replicate that authentic sound. So, and the arrangements are so fantastic. They really just kind of, they're exhilarating. They kind of hit you in the face. So
we'd love a young audience come in because it's been led by two young people.
Yeah.
For what is the old era of Hollywood. That'll be good to see. And they're into it, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think this music is just so classic and timeless that, I mean, for me anyway, it just transcends all age and generational things. I just think it's...
And it's very jazzy as well.
Yeah, you know, this is quite a jazzy show.
Yeah, and you'll be getting up, I'd say, dancing by the end of it.
Yeah, you won't be sitting in your seat. Definitely with a few verses of Get Happy, yeah.
It's happening on Wednesday, the 4th of September at 8 o'clock at the National Concert Hall, The Sound of Hollywood, the best of MGM musicals, to give it its official title. Tickets for €20, nch.ie. Listen, Niall, thank you both very much for coming in to us, Aoife and Niall. Niall Kinsella, to give you your full title as well, and Aoife Mulholland, West End star. Have a lovely time. Enjoy that in the meantime. You've got a month to prepare.
Thanks,
I'm sure it's going to be a bit of crack. 51551.
Thanks,
is we have one more break to take.
From the North, text studio, followed by your message to 80889.